Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. I am the one and only Dr. Shawande Mustakeem, and I was just playing that song Survive because guess what? That's one of the first things that we got to talk about today that is connected with the future and the fatigue of academia and, dare we say, academics. Again, hello, greetings to one and all wherever that you are across the planet. Today I am coming in to empower especially those academics, all the academics, but even more those who are looking at academia. What does it look like? What is it feeling like inside of that world? We got to think about where we are, what's the current state, and where are we going? I sat down. I've been wanting to do this show for a while, this particular conversation, to move the needle, because a lot has changed since some of us were in grad school, since some of us were on tenure track, since the many things within the pathway of academia, whether you're tenured, you are a full professor, hey, wherever that you are in the process, the future is here, and now it's time to adapt. So new ways are happening, new activations, and now the question is, what are we going to do about it? As we are thinking about so much more in the future and where we want to go. So again, the new is here. The past is gone. Now, what is the new and what does that look like? What is happening? Where do we need to be? Where does academia need to move the needle? So a lot of this I'm going to be talking about very briefly, but just to empower so we all can know. So the first thing that I have to start with is productivity. We know that it matters, but it is changing. Now all of a sudden we're getting new questions of, does everything count? Does social media count? Where are the platforms? Where are the places? Do we have to publish in that journal? Do we have to do a book? Academia still is going to have its anchor, but new questions around productivity are coming. And so you've got to think about, what does productivity mean to you? Where are the places that you can begin to have an expanded audience? No matter where you are on the academic pathway. So productivity is changing, but of course, we know academics, you are here to change the conversation, to upgrade us intellectually. So productivity, you got to redefine it all the time and on your terms so that you can continue to move forward in that way. Now, the other thing I think a lot of us see is academic freedom, or whatever that may be loosely, is evolving. As tenure now is starting to be under debate and the center point of political battles, where some people, this is really connected with a much bigger conversation that I'm going to get to, which is sort of that public, that private, that who's really the teacher? Do I really want you to know that? Hold on now, you thought you were free, but you're not. So academic freedom, what you say and what is being taught, now is going to be put under the microscope. So how do you preserve it? What do you do? These are going to be questions that you have to think about in the future. This is where we're at, okay, within academia, and academics are having to think about this a lot more. What is academic freedom? How do we protect it? How do we ensure that it has its central place? It's needed so we can continue to foster important conversations. So you want to think about what is that going to mean for you in the future, okay, because the future is here. And the next thing I think we all know, but if you didn't know, for those who just started, let me go ahead and tell you. Every year, every 4 years, there's a new generation of students that come in. No generation is the same. Now, academia is going to have to do a much better job of empowering faculty to understand the changing generations. Because if there is no encouragement or assisting in that, then we are going to see the rise of generational battles where this generation is unwilling to do the work that maybe 8 years ago they loved. And what are you going to do about it? Because you see, academia and universities and colleges, they don't always remind faculty about these generational changes. We are almost treating it like all students were born the same year and all came from the same thing. Okay, good luck with that. So where we are now, I say we have a rise of a new type of American learning. It's just generational. Where within the world of teaching, within the world of academia, we get insight into the American household, at least in how education is valued or not. And that means the rise of a new type of student, as well as the rise of a new type of parent. I think politically we could look to Virginia and begin to see that there's a whole lot of things that are starting to emerge that are going to make the ground shake beneath us. And there's so much more that I want to encourage us to begin to think about. This isn't a fear call. This isn't sounding the alarm bells, but it is hopefully sounding the smart bells in our mind to begin to think about how do we deal with change? How do we deal with evolution, which is already happening in academia? If you didn't think so, go look at how the faculty within your department or the staff or all of it looks perhaps, hopefully, different than it did 10 years ago, maybe 20 years ago. If it's not, we are totally not far in the progress. So stay attuned to this next class coming in, the first years, as well as those who are leaving. Those who are graduating are also graduating with a certain generational approach to education. So this is what's happening, y'all. This is what's happening within academia and academics. We're having to confront it. But it's always been there. It's just that we have not been reminding ourselves to be in that no. Now I'm about to go somewhere that some of us don't want to, we don't really want to go there, but we have to. But if I were to even point to pop culture for a moment, because pop culture is always teaching us more than academics could ever believe that we teach the world. But even in the recent show, The Chair, what was the one central factor that we saw? Yes, gender, but age. We forget that professions age. So the senior scholars, they're aging. There's all kinds of people aging. We're all aging. And with aging comes retirement. And with aging comes a generational difference in the approach to everything, to teaching, to research, to community, within academia, or even community engagement, within and again, outside of it. So aging, the aging academia is going to be a real important, it's coming. There's no word to describe what's coming because the bottom is about to fall out because we already have an aging profession. And then do we have enough to accommodate and fulfill those spaces across academia? Get ready. It's coming. But we gotta work with it. We gotta be prepared. We gotta learn from it. Now the next thing, I mean, I put it in the title, just so you could be reminded. Fatigue is here and the burnout is very, very real. And the pandemic really was the only global shakeup that we could get to say wellness matters. But wellness can't matter if we're not giving sustained attention to fatigue and the burnout. unless we forget this is connected to productivity. It's connected to teaching. It's connected to research. Hell, it's even connected to even just sort of being professional. The burnout is real. So academia is going to have to make space and new conversations on what is wellness. Wellness cannot only be therapy. Wellness must include meditation, relaxation, self-care. Academia must introduce academics, students, faculty, staff to the ways of finding peace and a centeredness, because academia is one of the most stressful places that chooses to not ever make time to slow down. So that's going to come quicker, more than we can imagine, because with fatigue and burnout, there's a rise in anxiety and depression. Are we even holding space for that? Is stress real in academia? Absolutely. So where are the conversations about stress care? Where are the conversations about anxiety and depression that can come through the tenure track process, or even still have you, you know, grabbing a hold of you while you're on tenure? We got to talk about that, because if not, then we're going to see people really crumble from this. Because then we're not talking about the realities of how academia can break people down emotionally, psychologically, all these ways that we read about and talk about. But now we got to get real with academia and academics. What is the world that we are a part of and the world that we're creating or perhaps trying to alter, upgrade, change, make better? Stress, depression, and anxiety, it's here. So along with the fatigue of academia, and this is across the board, some could argue as well, it's only with a certain group of people. No. The world we're in, we're all having to justify the need for academia as well as academics ourselves. So that is connecting with activism. It's everywhere. We all define it in different ways, and you might see yourself as an activist or not. But when you're contending and you're in conversation with the community, then you are being an activist for perhaps higher ideals of whatever that you write on. But the fatigue of activism is here too. And that is not just exhibited among students, but it can and will and is already taking a toll on faculty. Just look around. Look at the pace of productivity within not even just the past year, year and a half. But really look at those who've had challenges around them that, again, perhaps trying to justify why the world should read their work or backlash for any sort of thing. But more importantly, even trying to keep up with the changing world, changing generations, it brings a fatigue. So fatigue is real, and fatigue is even more real within academia. And what are we going to do about it? What can we do? The other thing is, as we have an aging profession, we're going to see, I argue we're about to see a massive wave of early retirements. There's just so much generational division that's happening that people are quitting, in moments that we wouldn't expect. And so whether we're just going to see the deepening of divides, we could potentially. And again, what are you going to do about it? Who cares? Isn't it all about collaboration? We've got to figure out how to share our legacy. How do we continue to share light on colleagues who kind of decided, I've now moved into a whole other place on the pathway. I'm done, within the traditional sense of the academic teaching research service, but now kind of further in their more seasoned pathway. But we got to, again, share the stage and the legacy that's happening, because trust me, this bottom is truly about to happen. The other thing that's happening that we all know, whether we'll say it or not, and I'll say it, there's gender implosion. Women against men, some men against women, some women against women, some men against men, some everything, division and all, taking of sides. And that's going to continue because of the generational differences. So gender implosions and even tensions around racial and even sexuality, it's going to happen. It's already happening within academia, but at times we just kind of are tight-lipped about it. but it's there. We're going to be confronted very soon with many sides of those conversations. And again, what are we going to do about it? How prepared are we in all the various ways? What does academia mean to us? And what do we mean to ourselves as academics? Connected with that is something else that I want to turn many, many, many academics' minds to, and that is the rise of what I would say the online school empire. Now, this is not online universities. Yes, that includes, but not really. I'm pointing to the rise of certifications that people can use that bypasses the need to go to college. This is also pointing to how every day people are seeing the value in their ideas and creating courses and getting a following. So this is Udemy. This is also MasterClass. I mean, at the end of the day, and I saw it even more concentrated under the pandemic, that if somebody had a choice between taking a class from yours truly, Dr. Shwane Muskeem, or perhaps L. Jackson, don't you think the world will want to take a class from him over me? So we have these competing platforms of education. And in the future, the world is going to have to confront its valuing or devaluing of intellects. Because when you don't read scholarship, when the books written by intellects just fade, if they are chosen, if the memoirs of celebrities become the text for the future, then where are academics in that? So, for instance, if in saying the study of diversity or blackness, you know, really matters, then you can't just read novels. Novels aren't history. They may contain history. But if you don't read history, you don't read black history, then all of a sudden it is contributing to only a one view of a much wider landscape of intellectual production. So again, Udemy, MasterClass, even just creating like webinars and different things, but this is speaking to something else that academics, you're going to have to get ready for. You got to really think about all sides of you. But again, the rise of certifications and more of an online empire, because the real money is being made by creating courses and workshops. And academics, you are not the only one in the game anymore at all. So I want to go back to the classroom for a moment. I think we know this now, but for some of us, we're still dealing with the hybrid, if you will, being in person or being online. Last year, for myself, completely on Zoom, which was a different level of engagement, far less engagement by far, than in person. But it also required a certain energy. And as time goes on, I'll even reflect on what I learned within teaching through Zoom that now is making me perhaps evaluate the classroom in a different way. So what I'm getting at is that our future is going, as academics, is going to be required to be in two and multiple places at once. So my fatigue these days is coming from the fact that I'm accommodating students in person and also at line, online. So this is me bringing my computer to campus so that way I know how to use the software to record, to get that to the students, and then more and more students online as they're perhaps going home or just not feeling well or not even wanting to come to class. So it's double duty, okay? All those administrative academics out there, administrators, I need you to understand, academics are tired. And greater fatigue is going to create greater challenges in the future. Oh, just shoot trust. So, again, we have to learn how to get our energy up. I mean, yeah, the question is, what do you do? But for me, I now am having to search for different ways to increase my energy. Because when I do, I give it all. I give it all because I'm teaching these classes back to back, you know, trying to be on top of it for everybody. And then I crash when I get home. It was not like that pre-pandemic. I mean, I was rushing home to do all kinds of stuff. But now, I'm like, again, crashing, falling asleep probably about 8 o'clock. So we have to begin to think about balancing our energy because the double, the quadruple integration in our lives and our expectations and more of giving ourselves to the world all at once and even more. So again, I want to remind us that we're standing at a place of greater anxieties in a variety of ways, and we've got to learn how to manage the anxieties. We've got to learn just how to reduce, even wherever we can, to reduce the anxieties that can even come on the pathway of tenure track. Perhaps we can't. I mean, that's just almost like a permanent stress in and of itself, but the management of anxiety and the day-to-day is going to become important. Now, this next topic I know far too well, and I know far too well that academia have not even moved the needle, and yet now it is staring us in the face. And that is the rise of academic caregivers. So there are caregivers of many forms. Parents, they're understood. But not adult children who choose to take on the care of a parent, an elderly, an aging or ailing parent or relative. So I ended up being the youngest person across my entire campus who not only was a caregiver, but one who I took care of my mother at home. So that meant I never had a break. I barely slept. And some days I would barely get maybe an hour of sleep. And then when people say, how are you doing? Oh, I'm just fine. Lying that I've been up, you know, having to be four and five people while on tenure track, while taking care of my mom, while dealing with the world and its needs. And Shawanda, you're different. Dr. Mustakim, you're different. Well, I'm tired. So academia has to. It is imperative. You've got to make space for the conversation on academic caregiving. If not now, then when? And if not yesterday, then tomorrow truly could be too late. But the caregiving conversation, please, I encourage you, do not insult a caregiver by saying, well, hey, here's this workshop. Looks like, you know, this is what you got out there. And it was all about finances and caregiving, sort of preparing for if you have to become a caregiver. Now, what about people like me who were in the audience who could have said, oh, well, you're going to go broke, you're going to lose everything, and your sanity will probably just find its, like, wobble. But no, we're not told that. We're not told why a massage will be better than, you know, just we have to really think. We have to be more compassionate about those who are giving even more than just within the academic space. This is what I'm saying. So the rise of academic caregivers and this conversation of academic caregiving has got to get, we have to support academic caregivers or else the burnout is going to be even more real. And for some, you know, it could even be fatal, and we definitely don't want to see that. So another thing, again, we've got to find the ways to manage our stress around the publish or perish. We got new stresses around that where it's just so much connected with that. So we really got to figure out what is wellness and how will that evolve. The other thing we have is the rise of the burn and the ban. And academia has to prepare itself because that fire could very well fall right on into academia because it's not just going to be the K-12 and the public school education, but now with the rise of a new parent, then it's going to be new questions of who's the intellect. So we got to be prepared. The rise of the burn and the ban is already happening, and then we got to figure out how do we still encourage those conversations that are necessary now and even more in the future. So one of the last sort of future and fatigue conversations that I would say that is really important in all of this is it's important for every academic to look at your talents. What are you good at? And then also, I dare you to look at your multiple talents, because when you can look at your multiple talents and skill sets, then you can look at how you can begin to give and also find new sources of engagement, money, hey, the rise of passive income. That is really going to be a needle of conversation that I'm going to move in the future because I ask my students that all the time. And if we're not asking that of our academic selves, then we're basically allowing these opportunities for greater abundance to just kind of go in other directions. So again, the world is changing, academia is changing, our just ways of being, and also ways of being and connecting with one another, the engagement with our work is just taking on whole new levels. The other thing that I can't even believe that I didn't bring it up, because these are the conversations that I'm trying to encourage, is that academia has got to get serious about academic marketing. How dare we tell people to publish anything and then not encourage deeper conversations or the tangible conversations on academic marketing? So there's a lot that is here, that is coming, that academia is going to be confronted with, and even more that academics have already been having to rethink, expand, and maybe even step into a higher self. So today, again, the conversation really was just trying to empower us on where are we, what are some things we need to think about it, what do we want to do about it, how do you want to have an even better academic evolution, how do you want to be a better academic? These are questions that you've got to think about. I'm throwing them out there so we all can think about it here, now, and in the future, and so you cannot say, I didn't know. So I am, of course, as I always say, the one and only Dr. Shawande Mustakeem. And again, I've come on to empower. That's what I do. That is a part of my many talents and skill sets, as well as a part of my purpose. So if you want to get a hold of me, you can send me an email at shawande.mustakeem@gmail.com or mustakeem@woosel.edu. When I say Woosel, that is Washington University in St. Louis. All right. This is the beginning of so much more in the empowerment of many, but even more academics. So, all right, continue to be your best self. Continue to be your productive self. And more importantly, continue to be your most balanced self. All right, now I'll talk to you soon, and I will empower you even more in the future. Bye-bye.